Job chapter 7. We're going to cover the end of this chapter here. And next Wednesday night, we'll get to another friend of Job's, Mr. Bildad the Shuhite. And we will begin talking about his railing on his friend, I guess you could call it that. Aren't you glad the Bible says, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? I wish that were the case here in, with Job's friends, but I'm not so sure. But if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're just going to read verses 17 through 21. And I just want to ask a question with this sermon tonight and this message. As we look at Job's ending of his response to Eliphaz, the Temanite, and I want you to, I think I got that right. Yeah, that's it. I get it mixed up sometimes. He's going to end it, and I want you to ask a want to answer a question, and we're going to ask the question: what is man without God? What is man without God? And think about this: is Job going through a lot? And in his estimation, would he feels like he'd be better off, right, without any of this trouble? But God is in this, right? And he had a life with God. He got to serve God. He was a man that was right with God. And so God is important. So Job has kind of lost a little bit of sight of what life with God is about. And guess what? What is man without God? Nothing. Nothing. Anyways, here we are. Look at verse 17. What is man? He starts out, that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him. So now he's asking God this question. He's asking God, what is it that you're doing with mankind? Why even invest in this at all? He says, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment. How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression, and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. So as we look at what Job says, and please understand, this man is under great stress, great sorrow, great grief, great difficulty, great oppression, great negative thing, okay? You can just put negative thing, any negative thing, and you can put that Job is under great whatever that thing is, okay? So he is under difficulty, and so he's questioning some things. And by the way, it's not that Job doesn't know the answer to these questions. Job knows the answer to these questions. For instance, in our scriptures, do we have examples of people asking questions that they already know the answer to those questions? So the purpose is not the question, is it? No. The purpose is an expression of their emotions or their feelings, right? For instance, remember one of the first times this happens, if you want to go back there, because we're going to go there anyways, but the book of Genesis, you understand that God asks a question. Adam! Now, did God not know where Adam was? No. All right? Did God know, or excuse me, did God not know what he had done? No. Okay, so who was this for? This is for Adam, okay? And so you understand that as Job asks these questions, they're probably more for himself than anything else. To perhaps help himself to realize and understand what he's going through, or to express the feelings he's going through. And how about this? You know, maybe it's just kind of like his wife, right? His wife gave a response or something. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? Well, that wasn't really probably how she really felt as far as wanting her husband to die. But just the overflow of emotion, she's like, maybe it'd be better if it just was over with for you because we've gone through so much. But Job asks these questions and he talks about this. And And I want you to realize that mankind is something special to God. So are you there? Just look at Genesis 1. Look at this. Look at verse 27. No, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So you understand this, right? This initial statement. And by the way, how many of you have ever caught before that in verse 26, he uses a plural pronoun? You ever notice that? Because this is known as, everybody thinks, well, this is just where God formed man. Eve came later on. And by the way, this is not chronological necessarily, because in chapter 2, we see this account given in more detail. It's not a different account. It's the same account. But I don't know if you've ever noticed that in verse 26, it says them. But anyways, so he did create them. He created him, right? Man, that's verse 27. Male and female created he them. So God blessed them. God said he's given them every herb, everything. He saw that it was good. And the very next morning, in the evening and morning, in the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God had, we have this account. And then over in verse 4, we see these things, and God formed man of the dust, right? In verse 7, God planted the garden, all these things that happened. The man, he took man in verse 15 to dress it and to keep it. And then in verse 18, it says, Lord God said, it is good, not good that man should be alone. Okay, can I tell you something? In all this creation, God is putting a lot of effort into man. Into the creation of man in his own image. Now go back to Job, and let's look at what Job says. Job says, what is man that thou shouldest magnify him? Think about that question Job is asking. Was Job magnified? Yeah, he was. He had great possessions, great, you know, abundance and great heritage, if you will, with his children, etc. He was lifted up. Even God himself said there was none like him in all the land. So Job says, why, God? What is man that you should magnify him? Look what he says. He says, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him. So he's asking these two questions. Job knew who had magnified him. God did. Job knew the relationship that he had with God. He knew God's heart was set upon him. He had that close relationship with him. He was special to God. He did have great position in God's eyes. It says here, look at verse 18, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment. So verses 17 and 18, I don't take these negative at all. I think that Job is reminding himself of what he meant to God. Job experienced these things, folks. How could Job ask the question, God, what is man that thou should magnify him, if he didn't know what that was? How could he ask that question if he hadn't experienced it? How could he ask the question, God, that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, if he hadn't felt that relationship with God? We know of Job back in the beginning that he prayed. We know that he sacrificed. We know he had a walk with God, right? He was one that feared God. He was just in his dealings with God, right? All those things. So Job had these relationships with God. And then he even says, that thou shouldest visit him every morning. How can he say that if he didn't have a daily relationship with God? He did. And he said, God, what is man? And really, if you want to, you could say, maybe Job's saying, God, what am I? That I could have had this with this relationship with you. And he says this, and try him every moment. So Job even had some trials and testings in his life and difficulties in his life that he had to overcome with God. All these things happened to Job in his relationship with God before this event took place. You realize this, right? Job had a very special relationship with God, and he's saying, God, what is the significance of this? Now look at verse 19. I think this is very curious, all right? Just listen to the words that Job says. He says, how long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone, till I swallow down my spittle? Now, Job had been sitting in sackcloth, right, and ashes, and scraping his wounds with potsherds, etc. And all along, what did he know? God was with him every single moment. Do you see what the verse says? He says, how long wilt thou not depart from me? He said, God, you won't leave me alone. You won't leave my side. I know you're here with me. That's what he's saying. A lot of people think Job thought he was abandoned, that Job thought he was left. I don't agree with that. I think Job knew exactly where God was, because he said, God, how long is it going to be till you leave me alone? You won't leave me alone, God. You're with me every moment. He said, look at verse 20. Now he says this, I have sinned. Now, before we get too far there, I want you to understand. Job is relating to us his relationship with his God. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got to remember in our darkest hour, our relationship with God. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him? Think of all the victories that you've had in your life. Guess whose victories those are? They're God's in you. What is man that God should magnify him? Well, I'll tell you what, folks. We are the image of God. We are created in his image. We are, if you will, if we're born again, we are not only creating the image of God, but we're recreated in the image of Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying there? You know what I mean? That new birth. Because in Jesus Christ, in Ephesians, what does it say? We are now his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And by the way, in 2 Corinthians, Yeah, 5:17. We're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So you understand, though, that we are special to God. We do have a special place. And God should work with us. I'm not speaking in pride and arrogance here. Do you know what I'm talking about? So to answer Job's question, Job, you know that you're special to God because of your relationship with God, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him. Folks, what does it say in the Bible? For God so loved. Hey, he washed us in his own blood. Folks, Christ loved us so much that he sacrificed. We are valuable. It is important to know the value of man. And again, by the way, not for pride's sake, right? It's not a pride thing. But realize that even in your hardest circumstance, the time where you feel like everything is broken, everything's going wrong, it's not that God doesn't love you. It's not that God doesn't think that you're special. It's not that God doesn't think you're important. It's just that God's doing something in your life. And we don't know what it is. And we don't know how it's going to come out. Only that God is the one that's in control. What is man without God? Man is nothing without God. Man is God's creation in the image of God. Man is God's creation so that God has something to love, and he wants that love returned. Yeah, that's why God created us. We're to bring glory to God. We are an eternal being with a body, soul, and a spirit. We are the only creation that is not complete until Christ lives in us. We are unable to love until we are first loved by God. Folks, I've told you before, life doesn't begin until salvation. So what is man? Man is special to God.
We just have to realize that. Again, that's not an element of pride. It's an acknowledgement of what God has created.
So we look at this here, and we see that God has dealt with man in such a way that he cares about us. He meddles, if you will, in our affairs. He works in our circumstances, in our lives, for his purpose. And it's always the best thing. We may not think so. By the way, was this the best thing for Job? Well, it's hard to say yes, isn't it? It's hard to say yes. But guess what it is? The best thing.
Now, without God, man is lost, miserable, separated from God, without hope, condemned in his trespasses and sins, in urgent need of salvation, and on his way to hell forever and ever without Jesus Christ. That's what we are without God. And folks, we've got to realize that God shouldn't leave us alone. He shouldn't just pull the plug. Have you ever thought about this? How many of you have thought about this? And we talked about this a little bit in Genesis when we taught in Sunday school. Why didn't God just, when Adam and Eve fell, just kind of wipe the page clean and start over again? Who's ever had that thought? I've had that thought. I'm like, why? Why go through all the difficulty of setting up this elaborate plan, right, of the woman's seed, you know, and all that he said about, you know, the serpent bruising his heel and the seed bruising his head and all that. And the plan of salvation, all these thousands of years of ups and downs and failures and successes and just, oh, and then look at the world around us today and just the wickedness and the awfulness. And God, why go through all this? How many of you want to ask God that question when you get to heaven? Amen. Isn't it curious? Why didn't you start over again? Probably because it would have happened again. Huh? How many, who's thought of that? Right? Yeah, I mean, think about it. So God does care. And Job knows that God does care. So look at verse 20. He says, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Now, what Job is not admitting to the accusations of Eliphaz at this moment in time. Okay, that's not what he's doing. But you understand that Job is saying, I'm not perfect. I am a sinner. I have sinned. Now, Eliphaz was saying, Job, the only way that this could happen in your life if you were completely wicked and evil and off course. And Job's saying, well, yes, I am a sinner, but I'm not against God. And so he says here, I've sinned, and he calls God the preserver of men. Do you think he knows this? Yes, he does. Who was the one doing sacrifices? And even so, the fact that for his children, just in case they would have sinned against God. You don't think this guy understands repentance? You don't think he understands sacrifice and forgiveness? He does. He knows that God is the preserver of mankind. He says, why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? So as Job tries to justify or to review this act in his life, this condition, or this judgment, this perceived judgment, right? He says, God, why have you turned me into a blot? Why have you turned me into a dark spot? Why have you turned me into a mark against thee? Because what was Eliphaz doing? What was one of his comments? Negative toward God, that God couldn't even keep control of things. So Job's saying, God, you've now made me something that someone would speak ill of you about.
And he says, so that I am a burden to myself. And by the way, he was, at this moment in time, he was crippled. The disease, the grief had crippled him. And he was a burden to himself. And then in verse 21, as we kind of close this out tonight, I want you to look at this. He says, then why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? Now, has this even been brought up yet? Job's transgression and iniquity. Only by Eliphaz, right? Has God brought it up? No. Has Job yet brought it up? No, this is the first time that Job's brought this up. How could he ask God, God, why haven't you taken this iniquity and this transgression away from me if it hasn't been brought up yet? Y'all remember 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, he is to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By the way, does that mean the circumstances go away? No. We're just forgiven. You realize that if I were to commit murder, right? Would God forgive me of committing murder? He would. But would I probably still have to go to jail? Yes. But I would be forgiven, right? Does that make it go away? No. I mean, Job's, all his wealth and riches have been taken. His health from him has been taken. His children have been taken. Is because God hadn't restored all those things to him mean that God hadn't forgiven him? See the question he's asking and why it's strange to think about? How can Job say that? How does he know God hasn't forgiven his iniquity and his transgression? He says, for now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. So what's he already resolved himself to? Dying. It's over with. Now, we're gonna talk about this in just a moment, but I want you to understand that God knows our life. You realize that. And that we have to make sure that we are right with God in our lives every step of the way. In success and in sorrow and difficulty, we need to realize that we're sinners. And that the beginning of victory in any man's life is to admit that we're a sinner. And Job is just kind of at the beginning of things. He's just trying to sort these things out. He's asking questions. He's trying to remind himself of his relationship with God. And it says here that he said, why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? Job wants God to cleanse him from his sin and let him die in peace. He said, God, I'm done. I'm a sinner. I've sinned. Forgive my iniquity. Forgive my transgression and let me depart. Job casts himself upon the mercy of God. Can I tell you something? We seek that peace. We should want to seek that peace, but not just at the end of our life, but all the days of our life. What Job probably should have come to the conclusion of at this point in time is, God, cleanse me, forgive me, make me whole, and use me again. Not let me die in peace, but let me get back up on my feet so I can continue to serve you, so I can continue to be one that fears God and eschews evil and is a positive reminder of who and what God is. But see, this grief and this burden that's hanging on him has brought him low. In Psalm 8, David says, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of this field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. As Job rehearsed these things in his mind and came to the conclusion that he needed to have forgiveness of sin and forgiveness of iniquity so that he could have peace to die, he should have gotten to the point where he needed to have peace to live for God, to continue to glorify God no matter what he had experienced in his life to this point. You see, as we learn from this book of Job, there's going to be some things that are going to be learning things what not to do. And this is one of the things what not to do. We ought not to say, you know what? I'm determining that my life has been too much and my life is over. So God, forgive me of my sin and let me die in peace. That's not the end that we need. What the end we need is, God, forgive me my sin and let me continue to live for you until you're ready to take me home. That's the attitude we need to have. Job does figure this out later on, but I want you to understand that we've got to persevere until God's through with us, not until we're through with us. Because he says, I'm not going to be here in the morning. I'm done. I'm checking out. And that's how Job thought of it in this moment in time. As we encourage ourselves in the Lord, remember that God does want to do something great with us for his glory. We are his prized creation, mankind. And he wants so badly to show himself mighty in our existence.